Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Eric Wetterling. He is the founder and editor of the Hedgeless Horseman website and building up quite a name for yourself, Eric, on our show. Rightfully so. You share really the stocks that you take a position in and why you like those stocks. But I'm going to follow up on some of the conversations I've had earlier today regarding how the juniors, especially gold juniors, are reacting to this nice bounce we've had in the gold price. As you and I were talking off mic, you made a comment that I thought is very, well, smart and very accurate for the type of market we are in, especially when you're a junior investor. And you said you're not even watching the gold price as closely as you used to. You're simply focusing on the stocks you are picking, simply because some of these juniors, a lot of these gold juniors, are trading at levels that you would think gold is maybe at $1,200. So can you please share why you've come to this realization of, you know what, let's just kind of ignore the gold price for right now and focus on the actual stocks?
Sure, Corey. I mean, as you said, the juniors don't seem that correlated to the gold price at the moment. So, I mean, if that's the case and you're basically, okay, you want to buy something that you think will go up or whatever, I mean, that's beta, basically. And as we've seen, not even beta seems to be working really at the moment. So, okay, that's one way to go about it. But that's the speculative part, I would say. That I used to do that. I just picked the companies that had the most silver and the most gold and was just waiting for gold and silver to go up. So I was just constantly watching the gold and silver price. And some of them paid off big time, like Bear Creek and stuff. But back then, I had no idea that some of these deposits were really crappy, that they might never get built. So basically, your only exit strategy is greater fool theory, because nobody's going to buy it and nobody's going to build it. So the only exit strategy is for some another retail investor to buy it. And I don't really like that approach anymore. So I'm trying to focus on things that have some natural exit strategies and things I can actually hold and see the intrinsic value go up, regardless what gold and silver does. Because, I mean, some of these crappy companies, they don't do anything. So they don't increase the value of the company and usually dilute it instead. And you don't have a clear exit strategy. But if you pick the good companies, I mean, they're actually have something good and trying to build some value. So, I mean, time is your friend in that case. Because even though gold might not be doing anything, they might, you know, give you a return on your investment because they're actually unlocking more value as time goes by. And then finally, when gold goes up, they will have more value to get revalued due to the increase in gold price. So that's basically my focus. Nowadays, I don't watch the gold price at all, and or I wouldn't say at all, but not as much as I did before. I just try to find the best risk-reward cases that have natural exits, at least good people involved that, you know, they wouldn't even bother with their time if they thought it was a crappy project, because, I mean, most of them have been successful or are successful and they don't need a paycheck. They want to, you know, create new discoveries and hit some more home runs and stuff like that. So they're more driven by passion, I would say, and they have the scars to back up their success. So, I mean, that's basically what I'm focusing on. And I really think that's the best way, because you never know what the gold price is going to do. If it goes down and you're sitting in a shitty junior, I mean, you're basically screwed, at least if it goes on for a longer period of time, because you're going to get diluted because they want their salary and you won't be unlocking any value. And you're also going to get hit the hardest because of the beta.
All right. So, yeah, stick to the good management teams and stick to those management teams that haven't just raised money, but actually sold companies, created liquidity events, and created those big winners. Now, it also sounds like when it comes to gold stocks and gold juniors, you're still very much focusing on these companies that have more exploration drilling going on, someone who's more trying to grow resources rather than de-risk or just move resources, let's say, from inferred into indicated. You want more discoveries, don't you?
Yes, basically. I mean, I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if I have the perfect approach. I mean, sticking to focusing on the actual companies is the right approach, but you can stick to different stages or companies in different stages, of course. So, I mean, I don't know if my approach is the safest or what have you, but it's the one that I think makes sense to me because I'm pretty impatient. I'm not super impatient, but I still like the companies that I see have some catalyst that would leap jump the inferred value, basically. So that's why I, for example, like Lion1 Metals, because they just announced that they are doing a very aggressive step-out campaign and will drill kilometer-deep holes, which might increase the, I would guess, I would say, inferred resources at their starter project by 200 to 300%. So I mean, that's they are obviously swinging for the fences. But as they also said in the news release, they're trying to demonstrate the scale of Tuvatu and the whole caldera, because I mean, the company believes they're sitting on a potentially tier one alkaline gold systems, and these can be 10 to 40 million ounce deposits. So I mean, that makes sense because they get a lot of bang for the buck if they have high conviction. I mean, if it was a long shot, they would probably just be throwing money away, because I mean, it's obviously high risk to do these kind of step outs, but at the same time, I mean, Wally Berikoff, the CEO, he owns like 20% of the company. So I mean, he has to obviously be comfortable with these step outs, and I guess Quinton has done a good job convincing him that this is for real. So I mean, that makes me think it's for real, and that's why I think Lion1 Metals has one of the best risk rewards in the industry right now, because I mean, they have a starter project that has high IRR and low CapEx. And there have been majors kicking their tires, to quote Wally Berikoff, and the way that they changed their path forward from going small scale, de-risking, to just swing for the fences. I mean, that screams confidence to me, and I don't think it's really pricing in much, if anything, of the tier one potential. So that's just one of my no-brainers because it ticks all the boxes. People, they got cash, and I mean, Fiji as a jurisdiction is actually very good, at least on paper. And no, it's one of my favorites, and I've been buying it today because I think the stock is closing a gap at around 79 to 80 cents or something, and I'm comfortable buying them here. And for the audience, they are a sponsor of mine also, so do your own due diligence.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for the full disclosure there. I find it very interesting that news that came out at the very beginning of October, so just a couple days ago, about these really kilometer-long deep holes that they are going to be drilling. And that is almost double, if not triple, below the known resource that they already have. So these are going to be expensive holes, but hey, if you can hit a feeder zone, then that can really be some of the highest grade material and bring the economics of the project, make them even better. So you know what? That is a kind of interesting drill program to follow along with. And I will reach out to Wally and even Quentin for a little bit more color on this stock. Let's also talk about the silver juniors, though, because silver has corrected and the juniors have corrected a bit. It was actually pretty interesting because the silver juniors did join in with that silver rally, I think, a lot because there just aren't that many silver stocks out there. But are you taking this as an opportunity to get into some of these silver plays now that they've pulled back a little bit?
Not really, not yet anyway, because I mean, I look at, I mean, it's all relative. So I mean, I might find a silver company that nowadays looks pretty good on a risk reward basis, but I won't buy that and therefore kicking out another stock that I hold if it has worse risk reward than the ones that I am currently holding. I mean, I've gone over like 40 companies in the last 2 weeks or something. And I found one that basically I thought was had a good enough risk reward to warrant taking a big position, and that wasn't even a silver company, and it was actually a PGM company, and I hadn't really planned on that. It just I just stumbled upon it, and so no, I mean the since the gold juniors haven't really revalued, and I don't think the silver juniors have devalued enough. I mean, they might be cheap, but I just still think that most of the late stage or advanced explorers and developers in the gold space still have a superior, I mean, a risk reward proposition for investors. But at the same time, I mean, I'm more bullish on silver than gold. So I personally hold physical silver much more than gold, but I'm not that bullish on the silver equities because I think they are overpriced relative to the gold juniors. So it's I mean this things keep switching all the time, but there are a bunch of silver juniors that never really came down to their 2015-16 lows, but the gold juniors did. So I've been picking up those much more than silver juniors. There are a few silver juniors I'm tracking and looking at, but at the moment I don't really see. Perhaps one that I think is like can contend with some of the gold juniors, but in short, no. I don't think they've gone down far enough, and I don't think the gold juniors have followed gold high enough to have me really take a big look at silver. And I mean, as you said, I mean, retail is all over silver, and Eric Sprott is basically lighting up the whole silver sector alone. So it's hard to find real bargains at the moment, I think.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up there, but hey, I don't blame you looking at the gold juniors more than the silver juniors simply because, yeah, those silver juniors already popped and silver is a lot more volatile, so there definitely is an opportunity with some of these silver stocks, but I even know there's a lot more silver stocks coming into the market here and that's going to at least, let's say, not saturate, but water down some of these silver stocks. It's going to give investors more options. So that could, well, be good for silver, but also take away some of that major upside that these silver stocks are arguing that they have because there's just so few of them. But hey, overall, very interesting comments there, Eric. It's great chatting with you, and it's always good hearing from another investor who's just trying to make light of where these stocks are going while balancing out what the metals prices are doing. Eric, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey.